congeries of saga and tall tale, but like the accurate representation of one long and crowded human life. Nor can blame for the neglect of the Longships be laid at the feet of Bengtsson's English translator, Michael Meyer, who produced a version of the original, the faithfulness of which I leave for the judgment of others, but whose utter deliciousness as English I readily proclaim. The antique chiming that stirs the air of the novel's sentences, without ever overpowering or choking that air with antique dust, recalls the epics and chronicles and history of our mother tongue, a history, after all, shared up to a point with the original Swedish, and the setting of parts of the action in Dark Ages Britain further strengthens the reader's deceptive sense that he or she is, thanks to the translator's magic and art, reading a work of English literature. Toss in the novel's unceasing playfulness around the subject of Christianity and its relative virtues and shortcomings when compared to Islam, and especially to the old religion of the northern forests, a playfulness that cannot disguise the author's profound but lightly worn concern with questions of ethics and the right use and purpose of a life, and the startling presence in a Swedish Viking story of a sympathetic Jewish character, and you have a work whose virtues and surprises ought long since to have given it a prominent place, at least in the pantheon of the world's adventure literature, if not world literature full stop. The fault, therefore, must lie with the world, which, as any reader of the Longships could tell you, buries its treasures, despises its glories, and seeks contentment most readily in the places where it is least likely to be found. My encounter with the Longships came when I was 14 or 15, through the agency of a true adventurer, my mother's sister, Gail Cohen. Toward the end of the '60s, she had set off, with the rest of her restless generation of psychic Vikings, on a journey that led from suburban Maryland to California, where she met and fell in love with a roving young Dane, to Denmark itself, where she settled and lived for 20 years. It was on one of her periodic visits home that she handed me a UK paperback edition of the book, published by Fontana, which she had randomly purchased at the airport in Copenhagen, partly because it was set in her adopted homeland and partly because there was nothing on the rack that looked any better. "It's really good," she assured me, and I would soon discover for myself the truth of this assessment, which in turn I would repeat to other lucky people over the years to come. Gail's own adventure came to an end at home, in America, in the toils of cancer. When she looked back at the map of it, like most true adventurers, she saw moments of joy, glints of gold, and happy chances like the one that brought this book into her hands. But I fear that, like most true adventurers, and unlike Bengtsson's congenitally fortunate hero, she also saw, looking back, that grief overtopped joy, that trash obscured the treasure, that, in the end, the bad luck outweighed the good. That is the great advantage, of course, that reading holds over what we call real life. Adventure is a dish that is best eaten takeout, in the comfort of one's own home. As you begin your meal, as you set off with Franz Bengtsson and Red Orm and the restless spirit of my aunt, I salute you and bid you farewell, and even though I have just finished reading the book for the fourth time, I envy you the pleasure you are about to find in the pages of the Longships. When you arrive at its bittersweet, but mostly sweet, conclusion, I trust that you will turn to your shipmate, your companion in adventure, and swear by ancient oaths, as I hereby swear to you, it is really good. Michael Chabon. Translator's Note. The action of the Longships covers approximately the years 980 to 1010 of our era. At that time, the southern provinces of Sweden belonged to Denmark, so that Orm, though born and bred in Skåne, regarded himself as a Dane. Denmark also claimed suzerainty over Norway, though the Norwegians regarded themselves as independent. The Vikings harried the countries of northern and western Europe more or less continuously for a period of over 200 years, from the end of the 8th century until the beginning of the 11th. Most of the raids on western Europe were carried out by Danes and Norwegians, for the Swedes regarded the Baltic as their domain, and at the end of the 9th century founded in Russia a kingdom that endured for 350 years until the coming of the Mongols. Ireland was, at first, the favourite western hunting ground of the Vikings.